purpose, Mr. President, the opposite, is to try to put you in the position that you can't keep anybody. And as you know, Bill Moyers has a network to the government of about 50 key people whom you have appointed at his recommendation. I mean, everybody in town knows that.
I don't think that's right at all.
Really?
I wouldn't say he's named a dozen. I never paid any more attention to Bill Moyers on appointments than I did to you on how to run my ranch.
Well, that's nothing.
The really only, he has on occasions passed judgment on somebody that he knew that was going to be an ambassador. But he hasn't, I don't believe, named a single person to a substantial job.
Is that true in the Peace Corps and the Shriver operation?
I think so.
You would know better than
I. I don't think that he ever heard of this Harding. He's just an Internal Revenue fella. And I don't think that the Peace Corps, I don't know anything about the way down folks in the various countries. They were there when I came, and they may have had replacements. But I met Vaughn in Senegal, who's head of it. And when I went there as vice president, and have been friends of his, when I came in, one of the first things I did was make him ambassador to Panama. But he's the head of it. Now, I think he has a strong alliance with Shriver, and I think Shriver's quitting because you've seen all this stuff in the paper. And I think that there may be a little connection between the two of them, but they're both getting out. And I don't really believe there's nobody in the State Department he's appointed. He came to us and got in the plane. He was down here at Kennedy's request, and Kennedy did not come at my request, mind you. That's a great myth that he came here to settle things for me. He came down here because he wanted to raise $1 million and try to improve himself, and he had been to Massachusetts, done the same thing. I put him off several months, and Connolly put him off several months. Didn't want him to come. Told him it is a mistake for him to come. And he finally called Connolly, I think maybe on Burrell's suggestion, secretly to the White House, and didn't tell me anything about it. And Connolly agreed if he'd wait 2 or 3 months that he would help him with the dinner. And he didn't want to, and the dinner was a failure. And I came down here a few days and had to call my personal friends long distance to get them to put up in order for him to even have a respectable crowd. He selected Bell, he and Ken O'Donnell, to come. Well, then when the great tragedy came, the Bell chartered plane came up, got in, and took charge. And was very helpful, but about every 2 or 3 months, he would point out his financial condition, his problems. And then when his brother had this problem, he told me that he wanted to go with him, and I told him that was all right if he'd get Abe or Eddie Weisel to write him the right kind of contract where he could get what he told me he was getting. He said he's going to control $400 million and that he was going to be the sole man to decide how to run the paper and the policies, and he'd have 500,000 circulation and so forth. And I told him that he ought to consider getting some deferred payments. They were going to give him a house and an automobile and all that kind of stuff. I had to remind him he had to pay taxes on the house and things of that nature, but if he could do it with his brother's widow and with his children, that I thought it would be a be a good thing for him.
I think you've been very fair to him.
He didn't have anything to do with hiring George Christian at all. I hired George Christian 6 months ago and put him down in Rostow's office, anticipating Bill would get sick. Bill, I think, has been having troubles and treatments, and it's been pretty obvious to me, and I have let him up. I bring Christian down here, and I stay here a good while, and I don't require him to brief much or anything. And I think that every man there is a good person and is a competent person. I think that Doug Kidder is one of the finest men I've ever known, and I would give him my right arm. Needless to say, I think the same thing about you, and I think the same thing about Marvin, and I think the same thing about Galifano, and I think the same thing about Harry. Harry is with me a long time before Bill ever was, and Harry is the very thing. Now, I didn't try to keep a Kennedy person. I just didn't fire them. I just didn't fire them. Now, in the case of Reedy, I could have Reedy tomorrow if I wanted him. Reedy is a very loyal and very good and very fine man. But Reedy had this terrible foot condition, and he went through the campaign. We didn't think he could make it. And when he got through, he had a chance to do better. And he left, I thought, with the finest terms. Busby just owes a good deal of money. And he owed one bank down here $50,000-$60,000, and he just couldn't meet his income tax. He had tax problems he couldn't meet. He didn't borrow money to meet his payments. So I thought it would be a good thing for him to be out. He wasn't essential to us, but I see nothing wrong after you've been there a year or 2 years or 3 years with people going out. I don't expect anybody. I hired John Connor for 2 years. John Gardner told me that he would come only for 2 years. I haven't hired anybody for the rest of their life, and I want them to stay as long as they want to. I haven't fired a Kennedy person. I kept Bobby as long as he wanted to stay. And I have felt that I would create sympathy for them, that most of the people brought in were capable people, that I believe the capable person would usually be a loyal person. Although I know in a good many instances that loyalty is divided, and in some instances it is not doesn't apply to me at all in loyalty. But I think overall that the cabinet and the higher positions, I believe they do what's best for their country. Now, I'm not asking them to do anything for me as an individual except do a good job for their country, and I believe most of them do. I think the unfortunate thing about Bill's resignation, aside from the problems that it gives me from the standpoint of making me appear to have enslaved the boy and to have persecuted him and all those things, kept him for years in bondage, so to speak, kind of entrapment. Aside from that, I think it's a very unfair and unjust way to treat every other person. I think that I wouldn't feel that way about boys like Henry Wilson and Mike Manatos. They're faithful, they're dedicated, they work hard, they do their job well. I think that Walt Rostow is one of the finest men I've ever known. He didn't apply for the job, he didn't ask, he just serves his country. He doesn't give a damn about the individual. He'd serve Kennedy just as well as he'd serve me, and he'd serve Eisenhower if he could, just like a soldier in Vietnam. And I think the same thing's true with Harry and with Keeter and with Joe Califano. They just come to work at 8 and stay till 8 or whatever time it is and do the best they can. I think it's unfair to leave the impression that they need $30,000 so bad that they would be false to me and false to the country and untrue. And I don't believe that's true.
but I have to tell you, because I'm for you, otherwise I wouldn't be working for $30,000 a year. I'll be frank, I had an offer last week of $200,000 from my picture company, which I turned down because I felt that this particular time, this was certainly not the time for me to ask you for a release. I believe that the Kennedys and Bill are much closer than you think they are.
No, I think they're friendly. He says not, though.
I don't think the Kennedys are for you in any way.
No, I think that's right.
Now, one of the things that bothers Mike Coles is that Bobby is leaking all the material in these articles.